Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
There's a song that you are familiar with, I think. And it's a prayer asking God to lead us and to guide us. Hallelujah. It says, "Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. If you call me, I will answer. It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Eternity's so uncertain. I've learned to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you will never leave. You will lead and guide me. Lord, I do believe. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. And that's a chorus, sing, lead me, Lord, I will go. Lead me, Lord, I will fall. I don't know whether that's your prayer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will. Let's take the first verse again. It's hard to take the first step. It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain. I learned to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you will never leave. You will lead and guide me. Lord, I do believe. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. 'Cause you have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will. Let's sing it again. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord, I will.
I will follow.
Tell him, lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord, I will go. I will go. You have called me. You have called me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will. There's a second verse that says, your plans for me are perfect. I never need to fear.
Although the time I fear,
I know that you are me. My heart just wants to follow. I'm willing to obey. Take my hand and lead me. Follow all the way. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me. Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord. I will go. Let's do the second verse again. Your plans for me are perfect. Your plans for me are perfect. I never need to fear. For though at times I feel alone, I know that you are near. My heart just wants to follow. I'm willing to obey. Take my hand and lead me. I follow all the way. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Can you lift up your hands and make it your prayer to the Lord? Lead me, Lord. I will go. Call me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord. I will tell him, lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord. Call me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will. You have called me, Lord, and I will answer. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will. One more time, you have called me, Lord, and I will answer. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I think that this is a prayer that every serious child of God must pray. It's a prayer of surrender, and it's a prayer of yielding yourself to the Lord. And particularly for us during this month of community outreach and social impact, we are reminding ourselves of the fact that God has sent us and has given us an instruction to go. To go where? Not to go to London. Not to go to the U.S., not to go to Dubai, but it is to go and make disciples of the nations and share the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we find ourselves. And it's an instruction to go, but unfortunately, it's an instruction that many of us are not obeying. Instead of going, we are staying. So this song says, you have called me, I will answer. And the answer must be, yes, I will go. Or, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. But I think that for many Christians, the response is, here I am, send him, send her, send somebody else. I'm too busy with my little miserable life, and I don't have time to respond to your call. And I pray that all of us will get to this place of yielding and surrendering to the plans and the purposes of God for our lives, which include us yielding ourselves as vessels and as instruments that God will work through to save other people. Can I have an amen? All right. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, this evening, I want to share with you the first part of a message I have titled Crossing Barriers to Share the Gospel. So this is part one. Crossing Barriers to Share the Gospel. Crossing Barriers to Share the Gospel. And we're going to read a long passage of scripture. Everything that we are going to read is important, so please come along with me and let's follow closely. And I'm taking my text from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, and reading from verse number 1. I am reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. He was more spiritual than many of us Christians because he prayed regularly. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God come toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. No, Lord, Peter declared, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 3 men have come looking for you. Verse 20. Get up, Go downstairs and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. Jump to verse 24. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But unlike us, many pastors who accept the worship of people, Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I am a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. 28. Peter told them, "You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean." Let's finish up. 34. Verse 34. Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. 43, he is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. 44, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this long passage of scripture. And what shall the people of God say? Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, the central theme of what we just read in Acts chapter 10 is that we must be willing to cross every barrier that stands between people and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the summary of what we've just read. And that's the main lesson that God wants us to pick from this sermon that I'm sharing with you today. And I'm repeating it. That we must be willing to cross every barrier that stands between people and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? It is important for us, church, to recognize and to remind ourselves of something very important. That there are people outside the four walls of this church who need Jesus. Amen? There are people outside the four walls of our church buildings and beautiful auditoriums who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is the problem with many of us and with many churches. The problem is that church members have become very comfortable in our churches. We are very comfortable and relaxed having church, enjoying fellowship, and basically just doing things among ourselves as believers. And in doing this, we forget that we have a responsibility and that there is a mandate that has been given to us to actually step outside our comfort zones and take the gospel to the lost souls around us. Hallelujah. And in this scripture that we read in Acts chapter 10, there are some very important lessons that we must learn. And these lessons must guide us as we press on in this Christian race to carry out the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that none should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. And God has, because of this, committed to you and I, everybody who is saved, the ministry of reconciliation. So the first lesson to pick from this scripture is that God cares about people who are different from us. Amen. God cares about people who are different from us. So when you read the first two verses of Acts chapter 10, in Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. In this scripture we read, in all the verses that we read, the two main characters there were Peter and Cornelius. And the thing about them is that they were different. Two very different people. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. And a centurion was an army captain who had 100 soldiers under him. This was Cornelius. So he was a Roman centurion. And who was Peter? Peter was a Jewish fisherman who became the chief apostle of Jesus Christ. Two very different people. They were separated by nationality. Cornelius was Roman. Peter was Jewish. They were separated by culture. The cultures were different. They were separated by religion. Because Romans had a lot of gods that they served and believed in. Even though Cornelius, the Bible reveals, was God-fearing. All right? But a typical Roman in those times did not believe in the God of the Bible or in the God of the Jews. So you can safely say that they were separated by religion. They were separated by social identity. One was an army captain, a very powerful man, a very influential person, for that matter. And the other was an ordinary fisherman whom God had chosen to lead the church at the time. They were also separated by social identity. They were separated by history. So we are seeing here two people who were very different. But even though they were different, the thing was that God was working in both of their lives. And God was interested in both of them. And we want to zero in on Cornelius. He was not Jewish. He was not saved. He was a good guy. Now, how do we know that he was a good guy? Because the Bible describes him as God-fearing. He was a good guy who did a lot of good works. He was a prayerful person. He gave alms to the poor. So he was a good guy. But he still needed to hear the gospel. So even though there are a lot of good things we can talk about him, the truth was that he was not saved. He was not born again. And to be born again is very different from doing good things. One of the obstacles why certain people cannot give their lives to Jesus and be born again is because they feel very good. They do good things. And sometimes they do more good than even some of us Christians. So then, when you talk to people like that who feel very goody-goody, it's difficult to get them to understand that all their good works and all their righteousnesses are like filthy rags before the Lord.
So Cornelius was a correct guy. He was a cool guy. He did good things, but he needed the Lord, and God cared enough about him, and God was interested in him, and God started doing some work in him that he organized for Peter to go all the way to his house. Hallelujah. So this teaches us something, that there are actually people outside the church, outside our Christian circles, whom God cares very much about. God does not just care about you. And sometimes we want God to just focus on blessing us alone and nobody else. But that's not the God we serve. He saved a lot of us, but he's very much interested and he cares about those who are not saved. He cares about the lost souls out there. The lost souls in Afienya Ablekuma. The lost souls in New Land. The lost souls in MFs. The lost souls in Mataheko. The lost souls in New Jerusalem. The lost souls in Apollonia. The lost souls in Afienya. The lost souls in Shy Hills, Michelle Camp, Bechele, Kakasunanka, whether one or two. He's interested in all of them. And he cares about all of them. So we can see from this story that God cares about many people. And actually he cares about everyone. And he cares even about people who are very different from us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you may think that, you know, because certain people are different from us, perhaps they are a certain way, so God may not be interested much in them. That's a mistake, my friend. God is interested in everybody, no matter how some way they are. And the thing also is that, you see, sometimes when you meet certain people, the impression you get about them from the outside may not be a very good one. But you may never know what God is doing or what God has started doing in their lives. There's a tendency to shun certain people because they are different from us. There's a tendency not to mingle with people who are very different. They look very bad. How many have seen some people in your neighborhood who look very, very, very bad and you don't want to have anything to do with them? Do you know of people like that? Even at our workplace, where you work, there are some trouble causes. There are people who are also always causing issues at the workplace. And they look so some way. Can I inform you this evening that God is interested in all those people? Hallelujah. So from the outside, they look horrible, terrible. But in the inside, you see, so that is why you must understand something about the God we serve. That he doesn't see things the way men see things. This was a very important lesson that God taught the prophet Samuel when he went to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king instead of Saul. He was impressed by height, by biceps, by triceps, by the broadness of shoulders, by the six packs. But then God explained to him that you men look to the outward appearance, but I, God, I look to the heart. So you may see somebody who looks very good to you, but God has rejected the person. And you may also see somebody who looks very bad to you, but God has accepted the person. And because God is the righteous judge, we can trust his judgment more than the judgment of men. Because we men, we see only in part. Hallelujah. So the point that I have stressed on here as the first lesson to pick from this story in Acts chapter 10 is that God cares about people who are different from us. Tell the person sitting next to you that God cares about people who are different from you. So don't just disregard them. And stop sharing your who towards such people. Hallelujah. All right. Number two, the second lesson is that God sometimes has to change us before he can send us. God sometimes has to change us before he can send us. Amen. So in verse 9, Acts chapter 10, 9 to 15. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds, and a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." So here, God was trying to show something to Peter, and God was trying to work on him before he sent him to the house of Cornelius. Because there were things that needed to change before Peter could carry out the assignment that God had for him. So in a certain sense, Cornelius was ready. God had prepared him and he was waiting for Peter. But Peter was not yet ready, and God had to work on him. And God worked on him by showing him certain things. He entered into a trance. So it was like he was awake. He was not awake, he'd be kind of. And he saw this sheet with all kinds of animals in it being lowered from heaven. And the instruction was, "Ezebana Zizi, kill them and eat." And he said, "No, Lord, I don't agree with you. I cannot eat this thing at all. I mean, I'm a correct Jewish guy. I don't associate with unclean and impure animals." But then that is what God spoke to him and told him, "What I have made clean, do not call unclean." Now, God was not here talking about food. That's not the essence of the trance. That's not the essence of the revelation that God was giving to him. God was actually, by this trance, preparing Peter's heart for the upcoming assignment. Because God had to break something in Peter's heart. That had to do with his culture. That had to do with his tradition. Amen. And Peter, through this encounter, was going to learn that the gospel was bigger than his culture. This was the challenge with a lot of the Jewish Christians, which made it very difficult for them initially to accept that the gospel was meant for the Gentiles also. So even though Jesus had told them that go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, indicating that God was interested not only in the Jewish world but in the Gentile world also, it took some time for them to accept it. And God had to work on Peter's heart before he sent him out on that assignment. He had to teach him that the kingdom of God was bigger than his traditions, and that the grace of God was bigger than his personal preferences. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God has to change us before he can use us to reach others who are not like that. So if God is working on us and trying to change us and correct certain things in us, we must not resist that change. Hallelujah. So you see, some of us, we are snobbish. We are snobs. We don't relate well with people. Your nose inside, they smell you. All right? Now, if you are like that, God cannot use you much. If God doesn't correct that thing in you, you will not be of much use to God. Because some of the people that God will lead you to, they may not be like you. They may not be very nice. They may not look a certain way. They may not smell a certain way. God has to work on that thing in you, that your nose inside that smells you. God has to work on it. Because he may send you to somebody to go and preach the gospel. And you, instead of preaching the gospel, you just be doing, And before you realize, you've offended the person. And because of that, the person doesn't want to come to Christ again. Am I saying something that makes sense to us? Yes. God has to sometimes work on us so that we become patient. Because some of us are too impatient. And when you are working on people and you are sharing the gospel with them, you need to be patient with them, you know. Because there are some people, they will give you a tough time. If you are an impatient fellow, you freak out and say, hey, Master, we are not have time for this controversy. So if you won't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can go to hell. What are you doing? What are you doing? So if you are like that, God has to work on you and work on your heart so that you will be patient. So I'm explaining to you that from what happened with Peter, we get this understanding that sometimes before God can use us to affect other lives, there is a need for God to change us and to work on us and to correct certain things in us. Hallelujah. Some of us are too quarrelsome. Too quarrelsome. So you are supposed to be sharing the good news about Jesus. You are quarreling with the person you are witnessing to. Quarrels with insults following. You know, God has to really work on us. Tell the person sitting by you, when I look at you, I think that what Pastor is saying today, it affects you. There's a lot that God has to change in you. Tell somebody sitting by you. Assemble, baby. Number three, the third lesson to pick from this story of Peter's encounter with Cornelius is that Peter had to cross different barriers for the gospel to reach Cornelius and his household. Peter had to cross different barriers for the gospel to reach Cornelius and his household. And that is what I am sharing with you today. Is that not the case? Crossing barriers to share the gospel. Crossing barriers to share the gospel. And Brother Peter had to overcome and deal with different barriers to be able to take the gospel to Cornelius and his household. So let's look at examples of some of the barriers that Peter had to cross and deal with. The first one is prejudice. Everybody say prejudice. All right, so what is prejudice? Prejudice is when you allow what you think about somebody to determine how you treat the person, even before you take time to know the person. So prejudice is when we allow what we think about a person or a group to determine how we treat them or how we relate with them, even before we have taken the time to know them. And it happens very often. You meet somebody and you just think that the person is some way. But the truth is that you don't know the person. You don't know the person. You've not related long enough with the person to know exactly how he is like or how she is like. And at times we don't like people for no reason at all. When you just see the person's face, it's like, I don't like you. You know? So that sort of thing is called prejudice, where you draw conclusions about people and you don't treat them well because you feel a certain way about them. But the thing is that you're not taking time to get to know them. Now, Peter had such a problem. Amen. And what it is with Peter was that he had been taught that certain people were unclean. To a typical Jew, anybody who is not a Jew is unclean. So Jews did not relate in a certain way with Gentiles. Now, if you look at people like the Samaritans, who were like half caste, half Jewish and half Gentile, there was always this enmity that existed between them. And the Jews despised them. So Jews had a certain way they felt about anybody who was not a Jew. And that sort of thing is what we mean by prejudice. So Peter had grown up with a mindset that we are different from these guys. They are impure. They are unclean. They are not correct people. But God had to confront that mindset. Hallelujah. The truth, ladies and gentlemen, is that we cannot reach out to certain people if we have already rejected them in our hearts. Can I say that again? There are certain people that we will never be able to reach out to because in our hearts we have already rejected them. And we've rejected them because we are prejudiced against them. Amen. So we can look at people and say, they are not our kind of people. They are not our kind of people. So at the end of the day, you will not reach out to them. Or you may look at certain people and say that they are too worldly or they are too spoiled. I don't think that I need to waste my time with them. Or you may say that these people, they will never listen to me. Now, you haven't even attempted to share the gospel with them, but you have already concluded in your mind that they will not listen to you. And that is one of the reasons why sometimes we don't talk to the people that God brings our way. We are prejudiced. We've concluded that they will not listen. Because they look very hard, they look very tough, they look very rough. Or you may look at certain people and say, these guys, they are very troublesome. They are always causing trouble in the area. So, I don't think that there's any point that I reach out to them. We may look at certain people and say, no, they are Muslims. They are unbelievers. They are prostitutes. They are drug addicts. They are criminals. They are homosexuals. They are too rich. They are too poor. They are too educated. They are not educated enough. So there are all kinds of reasons that cause us to be prejudiced against people when really we don't know them and we've not made an effort to reach out to them. Hallelujah. But you see, Jesus is our best example. And you realize that when Jesus walked the earth, He related with all kinds of people. He related with a Samaritan woman. She was a woman who had a terrible reputation that if you lose God, she will steal your husband. He related with her. He related with Zacchaeus, who was despised by his own people. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners and publicans. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees felt that this Jesus is not a correct guy for him to be relating with these kinds of guys. But Jesus did not mind them at all because Jesus knew what his mission was. That the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. So if he's come to save sinners, who else should he relate with? How can you save sinners if you don't relate with them or interact with them? So one of the barriers that Peter had to deal with was the barrier of prejudice. Amen. The other barrier that he had to deal with was the barrier of uncertainty. Because it wasn't clear what was going on. The trance that he had, he didn't understand what was going on. And then when these guys came and said that we've been sent to come and fetch you, and he realized that they were Gentiles, there must have been quite a bit of uncertainty around the whole thing. And Peter did not know everything before he went. He didn't know what laid ahead. He didn't know what awaited him. So there were a lot of things he didn't know. And the thing with, outreach, evangelism, reaching out to the lost and everything is that there are always a lot of uncertainties. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You never know how you know you're going to be received. You don't know what sort of reaction you're going to get. You don't know what kinds of people you're going to meet at the end of the day. And all these things generate uncertainty. Now, that uncertainty is a barrier that must be dealt with, because the uncertainty can actually stop you from trying to reach out to people. Hallelujah. So he did not know everything about what laid ahead, but he went. He simply obeyed what God told him. And sometimes, you know, when we are working with God, we want him to show us everything very clearly. If you want God to show you things very clearly before you move, then you will never move, because it's not going to happen. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. All right? If you want to get all the answers before you move with God, then you ain't going to move at all, because God is not going to give you all the answers. God is not going to show you everything. God is not going to address all the issues before He calls you, you know. So the uncertainties there, there are plenty. So you ask, hey, what if they reject me? Uncertainty. Or what if they insult me? Some of us, we don't like being insulted at all. And it's not a nice thing, so I understand that. But there's uncertainty. What if they ask me a question that I cannot answer? How many of you have felt that way before? When you're going on outreach, you have this thing at the back of your mind. Hey, na semi corners you could be some seminar, semi status, no air form na mean to me in Yanwa, then basically uncertainty. Or tells her that what if they don't accept Jesus Christ? Listen, evangelism is not about guaranteeing anybody's response. Our responsibility is just to obey. Amen. Our responsibility is to obey. So it means that we should not be afraid of rejection. After all, if somebody says no, you have not failed, you have obeyed. If somebody laughs at you, you have not failed, you have obeyed. If somebody will not listen to you when you go to him, you have not failed, you have obeyed. And our assignment is not to convert anybody, because you can't convert anybody. Our assignment is just to tell everybody. That's all. That's all God is asking us to do. That wherever we find ourselves, we must tell the people we meet about Jesus Christ. He has not asked us to save anybody in that sense. That's why Paul explained that I, Paul, I have planted, Apollos has watered. But who gave the increase? God. So it is the Holy Spirit who convicts people and saves them at the end of the day. Our bit is to plant the seed of God's word. Sometimes our assignment is to water the seed of God's word. But at the end of the day, ultimately, it is God who saves them. What becomes a problem, therefore, is if we don't do our bit of the work. And sometimes the barrier of uncertainty is the reason why we don't do what we are supposed to do. Hallelujah. Another barrier, social status. This is another barrier that Peter had to overcome. When we talk about social status, we are talking about people's positions or level of importance in society. All right? Social status means a person's position or level of importance in society. So, for example, somebody may be rich or poor. That's their social status. Somebody may be highly educated or uneducated. Somebody may be influential or unknown. All of that have to do with a person's social status. All right. Now, we see in the story we read here in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius was a very powerful man. He was a centurion. He was a very important official in the Roman government. And who was Peter? It was just an ordinary fisherman that the grace of God had located. And he could have allowed the difference in their social standing to affect him, such that he wouldn't have related with Cornelius the way he was supposed to relate with him. Amen. So, understand that God does not want social status to be the reason why we don't reach out to anybody. Because where the gospel is concerned, obia nyobia, God is interested in the rich, he's interested in the poor. He's interested in the educated, he's interested in the uneducated. He's interested in the white man, he's interested in the black man. He's interested in the professor, he's interested in the laborer. God is interested in them, everybody, no matter what their social status is. So it means that for us to be used by God to reach the lost souls out there, we must overcome this barrier of social status. The person is rich, so what? He still needs Jesus. The person is a professor, so what? He still needs Jesus and must still hear the good news, and you must still tell him about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The person may be an ordinary person in society, so what? He still needs Jesus, because everybody needs the Lord. Amen. And everybody deserves an opportunity to hear about Jesus. So once you understand this, then you are set to cross the barrier of social status. Hallelujah. Culture is the other barrier. We're closing culture. Peter had to overcome the barrier of culture. Again, they had different cultures. The culture of Peter was the culture of the Jews. The culture of Cornelius was the culture of the Romans. And culture is the way we do things. So every group of people, you know, have cultures that they practice and they follow. So you can tell that culture influences how people dress, the food they eat, the language they speak, how they communicate, how they greet one another, how they celebrate things like weddings, funerals, and festivals, their attitudes towards work, marriage, and religion. You see all of that with people's cultures. And one of the great challenges of outreach is that you meet people with different cultures. So you meet people who don't do things like the way you do. They don't look like you, they don't speak like you, they don't behave like you. And sometimes it's like we want people to become like us before we accept them. It doesn't work out like that. Because God has sent us not to make people like us. He has sent us to make disciples of them. Our assignment is not to turn people into us, to become like us in terms of our culture and all of these other things. Of course, in a certain sense, you want them to become like you because you are saved and you want them to become saved. That's different from what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where we allow somebody's culture to become a barrier that stops us from reaching out to them. Because there are some cultures, they may not be very appealing and attractive to you. Your culture may be more refined than somebody else's culture. But you must not allow that thing, the differences in culture, to become the reason why you will not want to reach out to certain kinds of people. Hallelujah. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, Paul said something very powerful. He said, "I am become all things to all men, so that I might by all means save some." Amen. So what he's explaining is that I'm overcoming all kinds of challenges and barriers. I'm overcoming them so that I can have an effect. And he was not talking about compromising the gospel. All he was talking about is that I need to remove unnecessary barriers to the gospel so that I can break through and penetrate with the good news of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to be effective witnesses for the Lord, we need to overcome this barrier of culture. So, if you're an older person, and perhaps God is leading you to younger people, young people have a certain culture, and you have to find a way to relate with them at that level, otherwise you'll not be able to reach them. Alright? So, people also come from different backgrounds. There's a way you need to adapt and adjust yourself so that you can flow with certain people, you can sit with certain people, you can relate with certain people long enough for you to carry across the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to overcome the barrier of culture. And the last barrier that Peter had to overcome was the barrier of comfort. Comfort. I think that this is one of the biggest barriers to evangelism and outreach. When you have to come out of your comfort zone. When you have to deal with, you know. So sometimes you may think that the biggest barrier is opposition. Where you are trying to take the gospel to people and they are opposing you. That's not the biggest barrier. One of the biggest barriers is our comfort and our convenience. It is because of our comfort and because of our convenience that is why we do not respond to the invitation to send the gospel to others. We just don't want to come. We are too comfortable where we are. And I mentioned that we see that in our churches. We are comfortable in church. We come to church. We come and pray. We have worship. There's praise time. We come and dance in front. We receive offering. The choir sings a beautiful song. The pastor comes to preach a powerful sermon. After church, we relate with our friends. We go to LC Sports. What was the name of your food joint? It's called what? Have you given a name to it? I said, yeah. Green Pastures. Theo, what did you say? Elsie's Kitchen. Please, it's called Green Pastures. Eh? Green Pastures. After church, you go to Green Pastures. Go and eat some nice fried yam with lizard. I beg your pardon. What's the name of the thing again? Gizzard, right? Is it lizard or gizzard? Gizzard, okay. All right. You go and eat it and you're happy. You're talking with your friends and then you go home. There is more for us to do. And we are so comfortable. We are so comfortable. And we don't want anything to disturb our comfort. But till we break this barrier of comfort and we come out of our comfort zone, we are of no use to the Lord. We are useless to Him. Because if God is going to be able to use us, we need to break out of that comfort thing. We need to come out of that life of convenience, that life of I don't want my life to be disturbed. It's Saturday afternoon. I've had a very busy week, very tiring week. I've been through a lot of issues. Saturday, I want to rest. Saturday, I want to wash my clothes. They said, what did the head of department say? Sister Elsie says what? That we are gathering at church at 3 o'clock to go for evangelism. To go for what? The word is not evangelism. It's evangelism. Evangelism. See, once I succumb, said I go for evangelism. I can't come. I have to watch my things. I have to cook for my husband. I have to take care of my children. I have to do this. I have to do that. So because of comfort and convenience, we don't carry out the master's wishes. I'm talking about dealing with the barriers that stop us from sharing the gospel. And in this scripture that we read, our main foundational scripture in Acts chapter 10, God reveals to us certain barriers that Peter had to overcome. And these barriers are also barriers that you and I have to overcome if God is going to be able to use us. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is counting on us. And it's time for us to respond. It's time for us to overcome all the barriers, all the different things that stop us from carrying out our mission and our mandate. The Word of God describes us as ambassadors. If you are an ambassador, you are supposed to represent the interest of the nation, of the country, of the republic that sent you. You cannot be sent as an ambassador to South Korea and then you're going to start a car exporting business or you are dealing in televisions Ghana has sent you to go and represent Ghana's interests in South Korea. You are going to do business there. It's like how some years ago we sent peacekeepers were sent from Ghana and other African countries to Sierra Leone and Liberia. They went to do mining. They went to mine diamonds. You are a shame and a traitor if you do that. Is it possible that that is how heaven is looking at us? Is it possible? Is it possible that heaven is looking at all of us? And there's so much sadness because it's like, these people, they don't understand why I left them there. There's a reason why after you got saved, you were not immediately ejected from this life. We've been left here on earth to make a difference, to represent the cause of heaven, to reach out to the dying souls out there. That's why we are here. We are not here to build a comfortable life and sing a higher do, baby. That's not the reason why we've left here. But that's what we are doing. We are building treasures here on earth. We are laying up treasures here. Treasures here. And we don't understand that none of these treasures that we are piling up here on earth and we are hoarding will be able to cross with us to the other side when our time comes. And when we stand here as your pastors to share the word of God with you and encourage you that come on board, join in the effort to reach a dying soul out there. Understand and come on board. Jump onto the train, the Zion train that is trying to reach as many people as possible. We're going to continue next week on this important subject of overcoming the barriers that stop us from sharing the gospel. And I trust that you've been blessed. Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask that you give us deeper understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever barriers we are dealing with, the barriers that stop us from carrying out the Great Commission, Father, help us to overcome those barriers. Strengthen us by your Spirit to overcome those barriers. Stir up a certain resolution in our hearts that we are not going to allow anything to stop us from carrying out the Master's wishes. Thank you for everyone listening to me today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.